It's the My Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live, Health Watch. She's writing a prescription for hope. Here's Michelle.
Hey, thank you for joining us. This is Health Watch. And if you heard that unvaccinated people are selfish and they are killing people, it is important that you listen to our program today because we're going to take that head on. Vaccinated or unvaccinated, going to absolutely refuse or on the fence, it doesn't really matter. This subject matter affects you. It affects people that you love. It affects people who are dying. It affects the future of our nation. So we're going to take it on today. You may remember, let's go back in time. Theodore Roosevelt, he referred to his office as a bully pulpit. Now, at the time, bully was like cool, awesome, really groovy, right? So that was what he was referring to. I have an awesome pulpit, but my, you know, times and even words change. And it has changed quite a bit because a bully pulpit, let's just change that to bullying from your pulpit. Now, writing in an article at the Stream, Discovery Institute President John West challenged...
Vice President.
Sorry, I was giving you a promotion.
Yeah, you were.
You're welcome. John West, who is our guest today, challenged the NIH director, Francis Collins, for using his pulpit to bully. Essentially, he depicted unvaccinated Americans, those who opposed COVID-19 mandates, as selfish killers. Now, John West with the Seattle-based Discovery Institute, he is, as he's mentioned, vice president, regardless of me wanting to give him a promotion. His current research examines the impact of science and scientism on public policy and culture, and his other areas of expertise are constitutional law, American government and institutions, religion, and politics. So perfect person to take this on today. John West, what a delight to have you on again.
Thank you for having me, and you know, thank you for the promotion. I had to challenge that because the current president, Steve Bureau, is a very nice guy, and I don't want to displace him. But
thank you for the thought. I am not going to lie, absolutely fabulous. So thank you very much for making time for us today. You may be listening, watching, or viewing. Wherever you are, you can go to My Michelle Live for more information. Now, John, Francis Collins is not only the director of the National Institute of Health, but he's also a very well-known for his evangelical Christian leanings. He's not unlike something that I wanted to play from our vice president, who had this to say about, well, mixing the vaccine and the Bible, I will just say.
Getting folks vaccinated. Isn't that the very essence of what we mean when we say, act in a way that is a projection of love thy neighbor?
Love thy neighbor. So this is not the only place we've heard this, John. There's commercials that you'll see of people with the collar coming on and saying, this is loving thy neighbor. This is what Jesus would want, right? God wants you to get the vaccine. And for Francis Collins to say that you are on the wrong side of history, you don't love your neighbor and you're essentially killing people. Well, so let's take that on today.
Yeah, I mean, he goes on and said in an interview that we're losing tens of thousands of lives who didn't have to die, and attributes it to those who have chosen not to be vaccinated or those who even oppose vaccine mandates. And I think this talking point, I'm glad you played the clip from the vice president. Yeah, it's a government talking point that basically is trying to get Christians in particular to mouth this idea that use love thy neighbor, which is a wonderful concept, and use it not really in the way, I mean, look, if you look in the Bible, love thy neighbor is about what your duty is to others. Jesus actually gives the parable of the Good Samaritan, which I actually write about, where you know, he's talking about our obligation to help, you know, the least and the most, you know, people who are persecuted and downtrodden, and they're turning into a club. Love thy neighbor the way Francis Collins is using it is not how he should be treating others, which we can get to that in a moment, but it's how he can berate you that you're not loving. So he really means you're being selfish and even a killer if you don't do what he wants you to do. And I think that is loathsome. It's self-righteous and it's just plain false. And I go through my article. Look, I want to state, I think that for many people, given their risk profile, taking one of the COVID vaccines is probably the best thing they can do. But it's a complicated subject. And to lambaste everyone, which he did, he's basically part of this movement to demonize anyone who makes a different choice as either irrational or selfish or evil is loathsome. And it's not true. And I go through in my article the reasons for that. I mean, the CDC itself acknowledges that 119 million Americans, that's more than half of our country, have already had COVID-19. And there's now good evidence that both from Israel, a study of close to 800,000 people, another study of from Cleveland, Ohio, in the Cleveland Health System that shows that if you have had COVID-19, your natural immunities are far superior to what you'll get just from the vaccine. So there is, so the people who've had COVID are not filling the hospitals. They're not a threat to anyone. If anything, they have better coverage. And so that's 119 million Americans. I don't know what percentage of those aren't getting vaccinated, but any of those, what Francis Collins is saying, that they're selfish or being unloving, is false. That's a slander.
This is something that goes to what we talk about on the My Michelle Live programs, whether it's science and technology, whether it is health, whether we're talking news, sports, entertainment. We like to get to the God story. So when you say, you know, God wants you to get the vaccine and you're not loving your neighbor if you're getting the vaccine, who made you God's, John? On one level, there's a reason why we have the Holy Spirit as Christians, mm-hmm. God interacting with us, because otherwise we get into legalism and some man comes up as the authority and says, this is what God wants you to do. I appreciate your advice, but I'm going to take what you say like the Bereans did, check the scriptures and see if it's so. Now that's on the spiritual level. Oh. On the physical level, the NIH director, the vice president of the United States, and even many pastors that are touting God wants you to get the vaccine. They're preaching the gospel of the vaccine, and yet they don't have all of the facts. The CMS medical tracking system, it's the CDC's National Healthcare Safety Network, currently utilized by 16,000 healthcare facilities. They have said that the total number of American citizens that have died within 14 days of receiving the COVID-19 vaccine is 48,465.
I mean, I just say a couple of things. I'm not against, I mean, I think if a pastor or Francis Collins, for that matter, wants to encourage people to get vaccinated and even say that, you know, that they think that's the good thing to do, that's fine. Where I think is wrong is when they demonize people who they are not in their shoes, and they're really self-righteously tagging all sorts of people. And my point is that that's a very personal choice, and there are a lot of legitimate reasons that people may have, given their particular situation, to make that choice. That is not unloving, that is not evil, that is not killing others. That's where I get off. And I do think there are, unfortunately, a lot of pastors, not just, you know, who followed the lead of Francis Collins, who have veered from simply advocating that, please get this, I think it's good, to demonizing and trying to shame people. That's really self-righteous, and if you actually know the facts. Now, the data, I do have to push back just a little bit on the, I have seen the claims about the CMS system, and I don't use those simply because it came from a whistleblower, and I know there's a lawsuit now to try to litigate it. And so,
thank you for that. I was going to mention that. I think it's worth mentioning, but it's also very important to say this is reported. That's where we have to find balance, because conversely, on the other side of the pew, you will have pastors who demonize people for getting vaccines, who say this is the mark of the beast, who say that there is no such thing as COVID. And that can be equally as is equally as dangerous.
Again, my view is people, and I didn't even deal with this in my article, you know, there are serious ethical concerns that people have pro and con because the vaccines were at least tested using, you know, fetal DNA cell line that ultimately originated with a aborted fetus, and I respect that. And my point is, just like the Catholic bishop said in Colorado, that that choice is actually a personal choice of conscience, and you also shouldn't be dictating for that. I was more dealing with some of the health reasons, but so apart from CMS, what I cite is VAERS because it's public. And that's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System that's existed, official government system, since 1990. And, you know, yes, it's true that not all the data in there is necessarily validated, but it's a system we've had since 1990. And for me, what raises a red flag for that is we've had 1.5 million adverse events reported to that system since 1990. Most people don't know that the proportion of that have come just this year, and we're not even full year, just for the COVID vaccines, over 700,000, close to 50% of all adverse reaction reports in that system have now been filed this year. And regardless of whether you think that that's a perfect system or not, and it's not, but even if you're just comparing apples to apples, there's something going on there when one set of vaccines suddenly outstrips every other vaccine for 30 years. Similarly, of the deaths, almost two-thirds of the deaths reported in that system associated with having taken a vaccine have now come this year and are associated with these, you know, COVID vaccines. That should be a point of, I mean, that's not crazy for someone who may be of low risk. Again, the CDC has put out, there are four conditions that are associated with hospitalization. And so if you are making a decision about your own risk, if you don't have one of those four underlying conditions and you're under 65, it's a reasonable thing, not a selfish thing, not a killer thing, to weigh those risks for yourself.
Well, we're looking at a lot of differing numbers. There are, as you have mentioned, pushback against differing reporting systems, even VAERS. There are other numbers that will say CDC reports children 5 to 17 have a 1 in 174,000 chance of dying from COVID, but there's been reports that have said as low as 1 in 1,000 of kids that have adverse effects of the. There's so many numbers out there. I think the point that you're making is very balanced and thought-provoking, that whether you believe that it's an inflated number, or if you believe that this might have some bias to it, I think that's fair. But the sheer number is reason for us to sit back and go, there's a problem here.
Yeah, for me is, again, forget, I mean, the same problems with VAERS that have existed would have existed for 30 years. Why is it that with these vaccines in 7, 8, 9 months, and in fact, they have a backlog, so we don't actually know what the full figure is yet for this year. I mean, this has outstripped every other thing. I mean, when you're dealing with 63% of the deaths reported in the system come in a single year, and we're not even done for the year. And it's, I mean, most vaccines are overwhelmingly safe. There are some that have had various problems, but we've seen nothing like this in VAERS for 30 years. So it's not, again, without saying whether that means you shouldn't have the vaccine or not, which I'm not arguing, but it's reasonable for those people who raise that question. And that's what I come back to. It is not reasonable, and I would say it's not Christian, to demonize people who have well-considered, thoughtful reasons for, in their particular situation, giving their particular risk factors to make this choice. And this is actually where I'd like to flip it. My biggest, actually, complaint against Francis Collins, and actually many Christian pastors now, is not even that they're trying to shame people. It's that if they believe that they're obligated to love thy neighbor, what is their responsibility? And we now have, right now in America, and actually in Washington State, as you may know, our governor has issued an edict that applies to private Christian schools who have to, later this month, fire, not just get testing, fire any employee who doesn't get vaccinated. And that doesn't just apply to healthcare. It doesn't just apply to public schools. It applies to private Christian schools in our state. There are vaccine mandates increasing around the country. And so thousands of people are being fired. And then the states are actually denying unemployment insurance. So they're actually saying, you know, I guess we want you to die of starvation if you're not going to die of, you know, COVID, or you're not going to get it. And then you're actually being forced. And then you have organ donors in Washington State, and then I actually just saw a new report this morning from another state, who are otherwise, I mean, they don't have COVID. In Washington State, University of Washington Medical System, someone for 2 years was on for, I think it was a heart, I forget what organ transplant it was, but had some underlying heart concerns, and so didn't want to get the vaccine because there are some known heart adverse reactions, and nothing else changed his health condition, but they yanked him and said, well, you can't get you're on the line for 2 years and you're getting yanked. This is cruel, it's inhumane, it's unchristian. And those Christians like Francis Collins, who also have basically praised and urged vaccine mandates, are being, for him to use love thy neighbor as a club to attack other people who have well-considered, thoughtful reasons that are loving and not selfish, and then to go around and stand by when people are losing their jobs, being denied unemployment insurance, being denied medical care. What is his obligation to love his neighbor? I think he's failing, and I think basically Christian pastors who are unwilling to support the choices of their parishioners, so that they not only shame them, but then they're not willing to stand up to this, I would call it social Darwinism, a whole class of people who in fact are healthy, I mean, in the past, you know, are being labeled unfit. And it's anyone who chooses to be unvaccinated that they should lose their jobs, not have unemployment insurance, which they've paid into for years working, and even possibly lose their health care. I think that's, I mean, this is more than vile. This is immoral.
Do you think that we are also in danger, this topic of vaccines and vaccine mandates, a place where we're losing our freedom of speech?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't say anything, no matter what your scientific background, no matter how accurately you document it. And more than that, we're losing our freedom. Look, I think vaccines were one of the greatest inventions that God helped scientists make. Although it's clear the current vaccines are substantially different than, you know, most vaccines and how they act. But okay, that's true. But we have never, as a nation, had the sort of vaccine mandates that we're seeing now of people losing their jobs. I mean, people go back to, well, in Massachusetts in 1905, Jacobson versus Massachusetts, they mandated the smallpox vaccine. Yeah, they did, but do you know what the penalty was? A $5 fine that today would be equivalent to $140. Not each time, but you pay it once and then you're over. At most, that was a nudge. You did not lose your job, unemployment insurance, medical care. We have never done what is happening now in just a few months.
Didn't it have to be something that was reasonable and did not put an undue strain on the person who said, I don't want to be vaccinated? Because if you're not vaccinated, you have a great likelihood of getting it. If you get it and recover, you have just as much immunity. It still contributed to herd immunity. And that was wonderful. Yeah. Where you mention vaccines have been wonderful, and they're a great invention of man. But if we don't, again, with the free speech issue, John, if we don't challenge them and we're not allowed to challenge them, how will they get better?
No, that's right. And we have had problems in the past, even with good vaccines. So, you know, for in polio, which I have a polio vaccine, my kids do, but you know, originally they used a dead virus, which was more safe, and then because that required a shot and some other reasons, they ended up for a while promoting the oral vaccine, which was actually a live but weakened virus. We in America, they don't recommend that live weakened virus anymore. Well, why is that? Well, it turned out a small percentage of people, because it was a live virus, ended up getting polio. And so we went back to the dead virus. And why? And how were we able to make that determination? Well, people were able to debate it. And so, you know, vaccines, although they are one of the greatest, I think, you know, medical gifts, have not been perfect. And individual vaccines, the swine flu vaccine, which ended up being pulled back because of tied to Guillain-Barré syndrome and other things, But you can only do that if you are free to raise these objections. And the counterpunch for someone like Francis Collins, if he thinks vaccine adverse reaction system is false, is for him to provide arguments about it. But as I point out in my article, he was asked earlier this year by U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, who is not a fire-breathing person. He's a more moderately conservative Republican, who asked him in a meeting, can you explain this? And he was just, you know, I don't really need to answer you on that. Well, that's not a serious response. And I'd say that's where my BS meter goes off. That if you demonize people and you don't actually answer their serious objections, instead what Francis Collins will go on, I've seen him on podcast interviews when he's defending the everything's perfectly safe, is, you know what he'll say is, well, oh, ha, 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 some people think this is a plot by Bill Gates to put a microchip in their brains, and I can assure you that we aren't doing that with this vaccine. Okay, give me a break. That's ludicrous. The people who have serious objections based on science, that is not an answer. And the fact that Francis Collins and others aren't willing to actually seriously engage the serious questions being raised is a warning sign that I think people should, it's a red flag.
What do you think is behind that? I know some people will say, well, they're just, you know, we want to decrease the surface population. Thank you, Scrooge. Yeah. And there are conspiracy theories. But I, yeah. as with you, I want to get to reasonable arguments that really make sense. What is behind this?
You know, I think people have different motives, and some are nefarious, some aren't. I think probably the main driver is that I've seen before in academia, I've seen before in scientists. It's really, you talk about herd immunity, it's a herd mentality that they get in this group mindset, and then it just builds on itself unthinkingly. And then especially, again, I actually think there is good evidence that the current vaccines, whatever their problems, can be helpful in reducing hospitalization and other things. Having said that, if you go to Israel or the other places that are 90% plus vaccinated, they had their biggest, they had this summer, after virtually everyone was vaccinated, they had a higher incidence of COVID than we did in the United States, and higher incidence since any time since the COVID thing began. And so I also think that what we see, we're seeing some desperation because they don't know what to do. And the reason why they're actually going up, now we have to have the third and then Israel the fourth jab, even though there are no safety studies on continuous jabs on it, they're desperate because what they've thrown at it, they see, well, it's not really working. And so I think that also fuels that, you know, if it's not working, you just get desperate and just you raise your rhetoric even more.
If you want to stay away from the nefarious and just say, look, they're desperately trying to save lives, but may not be looking at the whole picture. In West Virginia, this is what the governor had to say about people unvaccinated who are filling the hospital beds.
25% increase in deaths of people that are fully vaccinated over the last 8 weeks.
So he's saying that there are a 25% increase in deaths from people who are unvaccinated in the last few weeks. See, now that's something that we really should be concerned about and be thinking about and be improving vaccinations, pushing back. The other issue that we've seen to demonize as well are doctors who want to try things like ivermectin. Yep. There's treatments that are natural. Homeopathy has lost virtually no patients in the treatment. There are things that people are doing, and in fact, we're seeing it in other nations where there are treatments that are working. But we're not allowed to even try them.
I mean, this is also really awful. So the same people who want to force you to get vaccinated want to force you that you can't use things like ivermectin. And I've read the studies on ivermectin. There's good evidence that if you take it early, it can substantially help. Now, it's not perfect evidence. Frankly, very few scientific studies are. I mean, but there's, you know, at least this, there are two peer-reviewed journal articles from this summer, past summer, that collate all these other studies that show that there is a good thing. And then for the government to demonize, and actually, it's virtually impossible in many areas of the country now to get ivermectin. Because even if you can get a prescription, your local doctor likely won't give it, but there are places you can get it. You likely can't find a pharmacy. And and I would say that if you're interested in getting ivermectin, do it well before you get the disease, because it may take you weeks. There are ways to get it legally, but it is increasingly hard. And don't believe that your doctor's, that your own personal doctor is going to give it, and that even if you get a valid prescription, that your local pharmacy will fulfill. There are some, and you can go online and find lists of places, but you need to prepare. If that's something that you want to rely on, don't wait till you get COVID.
Yeah. Having the ability to choose, if I am facing death, if my doctor says, you know, if we hang you by your toes from the rafters of a red barn, you might have a better chance of survival. Okay, that may be ridiculous, but I should have the right to do it because my life's on the line. I'm breaths away from leaving this earth. I'm wondering if we were to demonize and say, you are killing people because you're not getting the vaccine, can you not as easily say, well, you're killing people because you're putting people on respirators instead of maybe trying things that have been working in other areas?
And even actually the debate over monoclonal antibodies, where if you're under 65 and don't have pre-existing conditions, good luck getting it. I mean, there is some evidence that the monoclonal antibodies, I know there's some controversy there, but that they work if you go early on. But I will tell you, from being in the state and having to look into it, it is very hard to get access to that. Now, in some other states like Florida, they're trying to make more access. But it is also really telling and awful and not loving your neighbor the way people like Francis Collins and others have encouraged an environment that makes it actually hard for people to get treatment that will keep you out of the hospital.
Go to a Sounders game and have some yahoo in a plastic table say, hey, free vaccines and you get free tickets too. So there should be some balance there. I wanted to bring it home in our final minutes together, though, on what is really important. That God story, getting down to what does love your neighbor mean, and how can we, in this time where this is dividing families and friendships and dividing people from their workplaces, what does love really look like? What can love look like?
Yeah.
What should it
be? Well, I think it is respecting the choices of other people. And yes, that could include lovingly, if you think that they have wrong reasons for not having the vaccines, to explain why you think it would be good. But it's also not being so judgmental and self-righteous that you put yourself in their place and think you should be able to coerce them or make their decisions. And if, especially if they have thoughtful reasons, that you find ways to defend them. And I think if, for example, if you're a church and you have people who seriously are concerned about the use of aborted fetal cell lines in the testing of these, that you give them support that you should have a right to request a religious exemption. And unlike some pastors, which I won't name, that are going out of the way to say there are no valid reasons for any religious exemptions, which is like kicking people down on the ground. Well, who are they to say? I mean, if you're a Protestant evangelical Christian, frankly, if you're a Catholic Christian, the right of conscience on determining medical treatment and other things is a long hallowed right. And so you should be supportive of those other people. You should be supportive of people who lose their jobs. You should try to help them and try to protect them. And obviously if people get sick on it, you should find ways to concrete help them. You shouldn't be demonizing them.
Indeed. Well, I think that this is a time for us to sit back and remember that we are part of history. And in history, people have gotten ugly, violent, ridiculous, because they get caught up in the issue of the day. Sometimes that God story, don't you think, John, takes us from the issue of the day to give us a wider, bigger, maybe even eternal, if I might say, perspective. Yeah. And the more important issue is, how am I loving you today? How am I supporting you today? And how am I able to open that dialogue and even allow my own ideas to be challenged, to realize that maybe I'm not always right 100% of the time? That's real dialogue, and that's the only way I see us going forward.
I think those are wise words.
Well, I am absolutely delighted to have you with us. And how fun it is to be able to, we've done this off and on for years, but how awesome to see you face to face. It is great. Thank you for what you do at the Discovery Institute, which is a spectacular organization dealing with everyday issues, dealing with science, the idea of intelligent design, brilliant minds, brilliant books, and a great place to go at discovery.org. John West is vice president and senior fellow at the Discovery Institute and has been my guest. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Michelle. It's been great.
More Health Watch at MyMichelleLive.com.